on verse 19 of Matthew 28, the verse that we just read, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." When I was a young feller growing up in northern BC, we really had two groups of people living where I was. We had a rather large indigenous population and a fairly homogeneous population from Western Europe. And that was our place, our home. So when it came to the Great Commission, which these words of Jesus are often referred to, make disciples of all nations, it meant become a missionary and travel overseas to share the good news of Jesus. But the world that we are living in today is very different. Here in Medicine Hat, we have people from, I don't know how many different countries, but I would estimate that there is well over 100 different nationalities represented in Medicine Hat. I know at Medicine Hat College, where I have the privilege of being chaplain, we have people from at least 60 to 65 different countries, and that number is increasing all the time. And so we no longer are required to go overseas as missionaries to carry out the Great Commission. But the Great Commission that Jesus has given the church has come to us. And I want to just share a couple of Bible passages to set this up. In Acts chapter 17, we find the Apostle Paul in Athens at a place called Mars Hill. And there, Paul, in speaking to the people, says that from one man God has made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole world. And he marked out their appropriate and appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. And so if I were to ask you the question, why are you here? Why are you not in church this morning, but why are you living in Medicine Hat in southeast Alberta? And there's a good possibility there are some people visiting from other places. So why do you live in the place that you live? And most of us would have an answer to give to that. I live here because I was born here. I live here because I go to school here. I live here because I was offered a job. All these different reasons. But Paul would say, ultimately, the reason that we live here is because God appointed us to live in this place, that perhaps we would reach out to him and seek him and find him. And you know, this idea that God chooses the place where we would live in order that we might be brought into a relationship with him, that idea is rejected by quite a few people. And on the one hand, there is a increasingly vocal group of people in our world who are anti-immigration. And they would say, hey, what Paul is saying is that God has decreed that this world would have nations, and he says this nation belongs here and this nation belongs here, and so on. And so that this passage of Paul is actually an anti-immigration passage. And yet there are very few people, theological scholars or others, who would agree with that interpretation. No. God appoints and oversees where each one of us lives in order that, well, it's not by chance that we're here, but by the divine providence of God that we're here in order that we might reach out and find him. And yet others would say, I don't know if God is that particularly concerned about where each one of the 8 billion people who inhabit planet Earth live. I'm not so sure that God arranges and organizes everything to that extent. And so we have a question of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of individuals. Am I here today because, and I'll just speak for myself, am I here today because 20 years ago, a church in Medicine Hat called me to be their pastor, and is that why I'm here? And I agreed to be pastor here instead of going to Rocky Mountain House or somewhere else. Am I here because of my choice, or am I here because God appointed me to be here? And I would say the answer is yes. And I'm not taking the easy way out. I'm saying yes because they are both true. There is a mystery that involves God's sovereignty by which he ultimately stands above this world and arranges the events of this world in his perfect righteousness, and yet each one of us has responsibility that is real. Each one of us has a freedom to make choices that are real. And perhaps the easiest way to, at least for me, to picture this almost apparent contradiction of God's sovereignty and our responsibility is to pretend that we walk into an old barn on a farm. One of those old barns that has a low ceiling, and as we walk into that barn, we see two ropes that are hanging down. And if we think, I'm going to climb that rope and get up into the attic of the barn, and we grab a rope and we go to climb it, that rope just pulls down and there's nothing there. We can't climb it. So we say, well, I'm going to climb the other rope. So we grab the other rope and we start to climb it, but it also falls down. If we grab both of those ropes, however, side by side, we're able to support our weight and begin to climb up. And when we get to the top, we see that it's actually one rope over top of a pulley. And so holding one side, holding the other side, but when we hold both of them, there's something firm there. And so it is with God's sovereignty and our responsibility. They're both true. And sometimes we can't understand exactly how that works. And yet, if we want to dismiss the sovereignty of God, we end up with a God who we have weakened, who's not in control of all things, who simply runs behind us trying to pick up the brokenness of our world. And yet also, if we only hold to that sovereignty of God and dismiss our responsibility, well, pretty soon we take no responsibility for our own actions and simply say, well, I did what I did because God made me do it, which is very unfair and untrue and unhelpful. So we hold to both a sovereign, mighty God and our own responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities that we hold together is that responsibility that Jesus gave. Just as he was about to depart this earth physically and return to his Father. Go therefore and make believers of all nations. And yet, you know, we could say, well, that's a commission that God gave to his disciples, and he gives it to the church in some kind of official capacity, and so the church has a long history, and sometimes it's a good history, and sometimes it's a not so good history, but a long history of sending missionaries out. But what's that got to do with me? You know, I'm not a missionary. I'm working this job, or I'm in school. I'm a student. What's that got to do with me? We read in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, what it's got to do with us, though. There we read, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a hope to share. And the Apostle Paul, when he speaks to Philemon, he says, in Philemon, that tiny little book in the New Testament, one chapter, Philemon was a wealthy man who owned a slave named Onesimus, I believe it is. And, you know, Paul says to him, I want you to give this man his freedom. And I pray that you will be faithful in sharing your faith in order that you might have a good understanding of every blessing that we have in Christ. And so this morning, I'd like to talk about sharing our faith. What does that look like? And I'll just be honest, I grew up simple farm kid in northern British Columbia. I had no inkling whatsoever that one day I would be standing at the front of a church delivering a sermon. I had my life figured out. I was going to be milking cows for the rest of my life. That's what I was going to do. And I think I would have been happy doing that. But here I am. And honestly, 3 years in seminary and many years pastoring a church still didn't really make sharing my faith with those who weren't sitting in the pews of church or coming to the church to talk to me. It was still difficult. And I think I really began to learn how to share my faith after I became a chaplain at the college. And I want to give you just a couple stories about sharing faith that shows that we can make things not only far more complicated than they ought to be, but far less effective than they ought to be. And so about, 16 years ago, something like that, we got a dog. And this dog loved to walk. And so every day we would take our dog for a walk through the coulees. It was about a 4.5 kilometer walk, and there were a lot of days when the dog told me it was time to go for a walk, and literally, if I didn't take her for her walk on time, she would tell me. She'd come up to me and and come on, time to go. So we would go, rain or shine, plus 40, minus 40, didn't matter. The dog and I, and usually my wife, we would go for a walk. Now, 4 years ago, something like that, we began to meet a couple as we went for our walk. And we said, hello. And they said, hi. And the next day, hello, hi. And this happened for months and months where we would say hi. And Emily and I asked each other, where do you think they're from? We guessed a few different places where we thought they were from. It was obvious that they did not grow up in Canada. And probably a year after we said hi faithfully and smiled every time, we finally exchanged a couple words other than hello. And gradually those couple words became a couple very brief conversations with a couple who were fairly new to speaking English. Finally, the question came out to me, do you work? Yes, I work at the church. I'm a pastor. Good. And a couple more conversations that were fairly short. And then one day, I was able to say to our new friends that we didn't know very well that I got a new job. I'm working somewhere else. Where? At the college. I'm a chaplain. What's a chaplain? I give spiritual support to people there, plus help people when they're struggling with difficulties. Do you only help students at college? No, I can help other people. And so they had a couple needs, a new family to this country with several children, and it's not easy to survive with several kids in today's time, and so I was able to help them with help of deacons and others, and we have developed a beautiful relationship. I have eaten some of the best food that I've ever eaten in their house, and drinking the tea and having lovely conversations, and my new friends practice a religion that is not Christianity, and we have discussions about, respectful discussions about each other's faith and religion, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. At the college, I have the opportunity to support people from, like I said, 60, 65 different countries in addition to Canada. And again, for some who are Christian, it's a pastoral position. Others are searching for purpose and meaning in life, questioning religion, those sort of things. And I have the opportunity to enter into wonderful conversations about the meaning of life and so on. And there are many who practice other religions or no religion at all. And there, through the support of churches like St. Barnabas and others, I'm able to simply share the love of Jesus in action by providing food and hygiene products, a listening and compassionate ear as people speak of the struggles and the hardships that they face, as well as simply celebrating the goodness of life with those who are in that good spot. And so, In September of last year, we held a chaplain's retreat out in the Cypress Hills at Whispering Pines Camp, a beautiful camp, and we had believing in Jesus students, and we had students of other religions and students of no religion at all. We did a lot of fun things together there, rock wall climbing. And again, seeing as I'm kind of making confessions, I'll make this confession. When you get my age and you're going to go rock wall climbing, you actually have to stretch your arms before you do it, or you can pull muscles and tendons in your arms. But anyway, great fun in that place. We ate great food, and we worshiped God. And our worship times were optional. We told all the students, if you want to come to worship, where we'll have a spiritual talk and we'll sing and praise God, you're welcome to come. If you prefer to miss that part, you're welcome to do other things. And some people came and some skipped it. But a relationship that built out of that was a student who did not come from a faith background, would say that she was atheistic and she was intrigued by this Christian community and became really part of our community for several months. And she continues today to question, to search, and wonderful as she's on that journey. And so again, by being neighbors, by showing interest and compassion to other people, God gradually opens up for us opportunities to do what Jesus called us to do, and that is to share his love, his truth, and the hope that we have with him, with all the nations. And I want to speak one last word about the nations. And it's getting a little bit easier for me to say this because I've cried enough about it. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter. She's amazing. Just like I'm sure all of you can say about your 4-year-old granddaughters, that they're amazing. But not too many years ago, there were a lot of 4-year-old girls, 5-year-old girls and boys, who were taken out of their homes against their will and their parents' will, and were brought to boarding schools. Some of them returned home. Some of them never did. And yet, 2/3 of Indigenous Canadians identify as Christians. 2/3 of our Indigenous population, when they fill out the Canada Census forms, call Christianity their religion. And there is such a need and such an opportunity for reconciliation with our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, at the college, we have that opportunity as we cooperate with the Indigenous Supports Office and initiatives of the college, sharing the love of Christ with brothers and sisters. And so I don't know what it was like 100 years ago or whenever when missionaries went overseas and all that's involved in that. But on this Trinity Sunday, we do well to take just a moment to reflect upon the fact that the commission that Jesus gave his church is no longer go across the oceans. But now that commission has come to us as each of us has the opportunity in school, in our neighborhoods, at work, wherever we go, to simply learn to love our neighbors. Yes, to love them as ourselves. To enjoy the richness and diversity that God has filled our world with as we share his love. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love and your grace to us. Father, we thank you for the college chaplaincy, and we thank you for the vision of St. Barnabas Church, along with some of the other churches in Medicine Hat, the vision of placing a chaplain at the college, not simply to support Christian students, but placing a chaplain there to share the love of Jesus with everyone, not simply in word, but in action as well. And so we pray that you would help each one of us in our lives to live the love of Jesus. And when we're asked about the hope and joy, to simply be able to point to the one who gave his everything for us. Amen.